kind of always interesting how I am introduced as a senior pastor will come up and speak, because remember, I was just introduced, now Pastor Jim Bob will speak. So now I'm not referred as Jim Bob anymore. I'm just a senior pastor. Kind of makes me feel very responsible. We are continuing with a series of sermons on Apostles' Creed. Us Christians, Protestant churches, profess our faith through the creed called Apostles' Creed. And in it, we make statements and professions about what we believe in. It is critical and important what we profess to be believed, because according to our belief, we are going to live with that belief. Now we have a vaccine for the coronavirus, but some people don't believe in the vaccine. In fact, they don't trust that this is real, that there'll be side effects, and some people have this end time theory about that you're going to be controlled by the evil one, and this is receiving the mark of a beast and all kind of crazy stuff. And they don't have faith, belief in this vaccine, so they don't get it because they don't believe in it. Our behavior depends a lot on what we believe. We believe in the bank system, so we entrust our money in the bank. We believe that as we're driving, the person who's driving on the opposite side will not cross the center lane and come toward me and crash onto my car. So we have faith that I'm going to be going my way and the person will go their way. We get into the airplane trusting that this plane will get to the destination without crashing or having crazy pilot who will take me to some weird country. Our faith is very important. What we believe in determines our action. So what we profess to believe in Jesus Christ is important. So today we profess our faith in Jesus Christ, and we profess our faith in the Trinitarian God, God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And today we are talking about the Son, Jesus Christ. If you look at the Bible, and they're full of stories, and some stories are acceptable and manageable, understandable, but there are stories that are kind of incredible, aren't they? Even starting from Genesis chapter 1 and 2, there's a story of creation, how God created out of nothing into something wonderful. And then it continues with the stories of miracles. Even the story of Israelites coming out of Egypt, there are stories of miracles, how they were led. After the 10 plagues, they were led into the wilderness. In the wilderness, they survived by the blessing of God and leading of God and parting of Red Sea and the pillar of fire and pillar of cloud. All these stories seems like some cartoon plot that it is hard to believe. And people who are educated and people who have received the higher education, they have issues with the Bible. Can it be trusted? Because scientifically, it cannot really be proven what happened in the Bible. Well, let me tell you, there's limitations in what human beings consider to be scientific. What was scientific yesterday may no longer be scientific today. What worked yesterday may not work today. So there's limitations of science, yet we use science as a basis of determining whether the Word of God is true or not. So, you know, I want to just make a statement that if you believe in God and if you believe in the Bible to be the Word of God, that science is not the measuring stick to determine whether this is true or not. Because science that we consider to be so truthful and so correct changes day to day. Even the science of learning about the new virus called coronavirus is changing every day. What used to be this way, now you go this way. Even the treatment changes all the time. Let me state a date, 1983, January 1st. You know what that date is? It's the date that changed everyone's lives. The way that we go about in doing things and that we go about in wanting to find answers to a lot of stuff. It's a birthday of internet, 1983. It's been less than 30 years. But that day changed a lot of behaviors of many people. Now we no longer go to the, you know, just library to get information. You don't look up encyclopedias. I don't know, some of the young people may not even know what the encyclopedia is. I remember when I was young, the people who had, you know, wealth, they had this Encyclopedia Britannica, like huge volume, you know, and just, we had one, but we didn't buy it from the salesperson. We bought it at a garage sale, so there were a few books missing. Yet we had it, and it looked really good. And that was a source of our information. Whatever you wanted to know, you went there. But after January 1st, 1983, now we go search engine and we ask the question. I went to Echo and asked the meaning of life. I said, what's the name? Alexa, what is the meaning of life? I asked three times, and three times gave me a different answer. It had a long answer. It even gives you a meaning of life, what it means. That's how fast the world is changing, and the technology is advancing so fast that what used to be scientific yesterday is no longer today. Now, internet is kind of using this technology called AI, artificial intelligence. And the things that it does is just incredible. You know, you go search some stuff to shop. You know, I was looking at RVs in order to prepare for my retirement. After retirement, I want to travel with my wife in a nice RV. I just went a few sites, and now just popping up everywhere about the RV and telling me how great this RV is, and how do they know? And you know, some people say now the Alexa listens to our conversation and they determine what they should send as an advertisement. That's how fast the world is changing, and that's how the technology is advancing so fast. And we say that this technology that's changing every day, that is advancing, is disproving the stories of the Bible. Well, one day, some people will consider what we have in our technology as miraculous. And then by then, they will be able to say what happened in the Bible is truly the real story, not some fake stories that some people made up. The story that we're going to talk about today is something that is incredible, something that people call it miracle. And some people have difficulty believing this story because it is a supernatural story. We profess our faith in God Almighty and His Son Jesus Christ, only Son, and we believe in it. That up to that is fine. Now we're talking about how Jesus decided to come to earth. And the method He came about is He was conceived of the Holy Spirit and born of a Virgin Mary. It doesn't make sense. The understanding that we have of nature, of science, it doesn't calculate. Because how can someone be conceived of the Holy Spirit? What does that mean? And how can a virgin give birth? That's never heard of. No one in history who was a virgin gave birth. In order for us to have a child, we know how it goes. You know, we heard the story of birds and bees, and we know how the baby is conceived. And the virgin is someone who never had experience, you know, just with the man and a woman. And how can a person, a virgin, have a child? So some people I heard that as they're going through this Apostles' Creed and reciting it, that when they arrive to that point, part of, you know, conceive of the Holy Spirit and birth of a Virgin Mary, they skip that part because they feel uncomfortable as an intelligent 21st century, you know, learned person. This is not true. Well, if you cannot profess that Jesus was born of a virgin through the conception of Holy Spirit, then what you profess before that, it doesn't work. Because in the beginning, you profess, of the creed, you profess what? I believe in God Almighty, El Shaddai, God who is able to do all things, even miracles, we professed. And if you're not able to profess this faith about Jesus being born of a Virgin Mary and being conceived of the Holy Spirit, what follows will not make sense. Because, well, how are you going to explain death of Jesus Christ on the cross and the resurrection and even the second coming? It is critical that we believe. Some people have difficulty with miracles. Even today, miracles happen. I read this kind of a funny story. There was a country that prohibited liquor coming in. So, you know, as someone arrived at the airport and going through the custom, they were checking the bag, and there was a bottle that looked like a liquor bottle. And the person asked, you know, what is this? No, that's water. Are you sure it's water? Yes, it's water. And so the custom agent opened the bottle and then tasted it. It was vodka. It's vodka. And the guy said, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. Well, it's just a funny story. But even today, miracles do happen. And I'm going to explain at the end of a sermon what kind of miracles is happening today. So we are people who believe in the conception of Holy Spirit. Why? Why? Why couldn't Jesus come through the regular route of just Joseph and Mary, just, you know, having a baby and then, you know, being called Jesus Christ? Why conception of Holy Spirit? There's a reason why. Because as men and women get married and have baby, and the child is born, and the child is not born as a saint, they're cute and they seem so innocent and they seem so, like, sinless. But we all have original sin. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, the descendants of Adam all were born in sinfulness. That's why the Bible says there's no one righteous, not one. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God because of our original sins. So if Jesus came being conceived of Joseph and Mary, receiving the seed of human, then he would have been born as a sinner. But the reason why Jesus came was to forgive the sins of humanity. That was the reason why Jesus came. And he had to be sinless. In order to be sinless, there had to be a different way of coming. So Jesus came through the body, through the conception of the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter 1:23 says this, "For you have been born again, not perishable seed, but imperishable through the living and enduring word of God." See, the perishable seed, it's talking about seed of humanity, what husband and wife are able to provide and make baby. But it is saying that Jesus is imperishable seed. It is the conception of a Holy Spirit. And 1 John 3:5 says this, "But you know that he appears so that he might take away our sins." This is the reason why Jesus came. "And in him is no sin." In order for Jesus to come to us to take care of our sinfulness, he had to be born without sin. So the conception happened through the Holy Spirit. And he came through the vehicle called Mary, the Virgin Mary. Why is name of Mary in the creed? Some people say, well, you know, isn't it like Catholics believe that Mary to be the mother of God? And no, that wasn't the reason why it made into the creed. The reason it made into the creed was because of an issue that the early churches had. When the people were putting together the creed, what we profess to be our faith, there was an issue that was going on in early church. There was a Gnostic movement, and the Gnostics are the people who believe that everything of this world is evil. Human body is evil. All the material things are evil. For Jesus to be born into as a human being, he had to be evil. So Jesus wasn't really a human being. He was just an image. He was just a figurehead. And so they just denied the humanity of Jesus Christ. And that created chaos in church. So in order to teach the people that he was truly born as a human being, they put in name of Mary, Virgin Mary, to be born. And this Jesus who came, not as a perfect, only perfect God, he came as a perfect man. Some people think that Jesus was born as a man and then he slowly became like God-like. No, that wasn't it. Some people say he was 50% God and 50% human. No, that wasn't it. He was 100% God and 100% human. He felt every emotion that you and I feel. When he felt hungry, he had to eat. When he was thirsty, he had to drink. When he was sad, he cried. When he was happy, he laughed. So he had every emotion. And some people say that if we pray to God, how can God understand? He understands because he became human. He went through all the emotions that we went through and we are going through. That's why his name is Emmanuel. Emmanuel. It means God with us. He became human and he walked the life that we are living right now. You see, God one day didn't wake up and say, well, I'm going to save the humanity and it's going to happen like this. God made plan throughout the history. We believe that God is a history maker and he made history. The birth of Jesus Christ to be Emmanuel, to be born of a Virgin Mary, to be conceived by the Holy Spirit. This was all planned. It wasn't just overnight, okay, I'm going to make this happen this way. He made it he planned it from way ahead. From 8th century before Jesus was born, through Isaiah, prophet Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 14, this is what he says. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with the child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. What was included in the New Testament in today's passage. That God already made planned through the history that Jesus was going to be born this way. You see, God is the one who makes history and who runs a history. All we have to do is to follow that history and to be part of that history. There's an old Korean gospel song called, you know, 내일 일은 난 몰라요. I don't know about tomorrow. I just live today. There is that song. And then that song is a statement that we make that I don't know what will happen in the future, but I just trust that God will care for me and I just live day by day. Because I know that God is the one who owns and carries a history. Even my life, from the time before I was born and to the point that I stand before God, God wants to make great plans for my life. What we are called to do is to be part of that history and to be part of what God wants to do with my life. And I went to school in California, University of California, Davis, and there was a church that was founded by the Campus Crusade staff. And you know, we did the 10-step Bible studies, and they gave us a little track to go out and witness to people, and it was called the Four Spiritual Laws. There are four spiritual laws that you share with the people, and then at the end, you ask them to pray with you to accept Jesus Christ. But the first principle, spiritual principle, was this: God has a great plan for you. God has a great plan for you. God wants to make you a history maker. He has a plan, and he wants you to be part of that plan in order for you to be like Mary and Joseph. You see, Joseph, before he knew the plan of God, you know, he made his own plan. Something happened in his life, and he was just looking forward to marrying Mary, but Mary was pregnant. That was a no-no. You know, nowadays, people don't consider it a big deal, but back in Jesus' time, getting pregnant before marriage, it was a no-no. In fact, that was a crime punishable by death. Someone who commits adultery were brought into the public place and they were stoned to death. And that was the case. And Joseph finds out that, you know, engaged Mary is pregnant with the child. So what does he do? He was a righteous man. So what does he do? Instead of disgracing her, he wanted to quietly just end this relationship. He was a good man. You know, if I were Joseph, I would put on the internet, tell everybody how bad, you know, this woman is. You know, oh, how cushy and all that. But, you know, he quietly wanted to take care of it. That was his plan. But in his sleep, angel appears and tells him, no, don't do that. Because I have plan, and this is my plan. Through Mary, Jesus is going to be born. And she wasn't with another man. She was conceived of the Holy Spirit. So this child is a special child. So you cannot get rid of Mary. You make her in your wife and you care for her. Now he heard the plan of God. And what does he do? The Bible says that he obeyed the command of God. He obeyed the command of God. When he heard the plan of God, he followed. How about Mary? It doesn't say here in Matthew, but and if you look and read Luke, it says, you know, I'm the servant of yours. Whatever you say, let it be done. That's what she says. Whatever you have planned, let it be done through me. This is true obedience. What Joseph and Mary did was true obedience. A lot of times we obey after calculation. If I obey, there's something beneficial for me. If I obey, if there's something that I can gain from disobedience. But here, Joseph and Mary has everything to lose. Their reputation, and even their life could be in danger. Their shame, you know, they might be shamed. But yet, they obeyed. Sometimes in order for us to participate in the plan of God and the history of God, God calls us to obey, and that obedience might require for us to lose some things, lose major things. What will you do? But when they obeyed, they became truly a blessing to humanity. Blessing to humanity. In order for you and I to be a blessing, we need to obey. And even if the obedience requires sacrifice and devotion, we need to obey. Miracles still happen today. Miracles still happen today. I thought it was a little miracle that happened last week. I don't know, you be the judge of it. My wife works at a hospital, and she registered my mom and myself to be vaccinated. And suddenly, got a call from my wife saying that by 4:30 today, mom needs to come because someone canceled, and they're putting mom to be vaccinated. So I said, okay, and I took her at 4 o'clock, a little bit early, and there was hardly anybody there. Just my mom and I, and there were about 3 other people getting vaccinated, and they were about to leave. And they were looking at the schedule, and there were 10 people to be vaccinated. And as they're going through the list, and then, you know, my mom was there too, and she got registered, and they were about to bring out the vaccine, and they said, well, you know, each box has 4, and if we bring out 3 of them, there are 12 of them, there are only 10 people, 2 are left over. And they said, once you take out of a refrigerator, you cannot put it back, so you got to use it. And said, well, what should we do? And I stepped up. Here I am with good arms. Here I am, you know, just, I got some healthy arms, and I'm available. And they just smirked, you know, looked at me. Yeah, in your dreams. And that was that. And then 2 minutes later, the nurse comes to me and says, do you want to be vaccinated today? They couldn't find anybody. I said, sure, you know, and then I got vaccinated. I was just a miracle of God. And the nurse was saying, you know, because you're a good son to bringing your mom here, we're vaccinating you. I said, no, this is truly work of God. He wanted me to just meet people without really having, you know, hard time just, oh, am I going to get sick and all that. Yeah, it was a miracle of God. I call that little miracle, but there are bigger miracles of God. Miracles that happened to Mary and Joseph. When they obeyed something that was so shameful, something that was so sacrificial, they were able to impact the humanity destiny to eternity. When she was conceived of the Holy Spirit, she was able to give people hope of Jesus Christ. You and I are, we're not conceived of a baby, but we have, through the Holy Spirit, we have Jesus Christ in us. And this Christ that is within us, through the Holy Spirit, can impact people in a major way, changing their lives to eternity. People who are going to go to hell, through Jesus Christ in me, they can be saved. That is a greater miracle than just getting a vaccine. We consider it to be a miracle when someone is healed of incurable disease. Someone who was about on the last stage of cancer, they lived by the grace of God. What a miracle. We consider that to be a great miracle, but there are greater miracles that happens every day through us. Just like Mary and Joseph. Because we obeyed Jesus Christ to be part of His story, His purpose, and His scheduling of my life, because I decided to obey, somebody's life changed to be the follower of Jesus Christ and to have an eternal consequence of living in His kingdom. And I invite all of us to be part of that plan, to be part of that history, because there are no other better ways to live than to be conceiving Holy Spirit within myself, and then through that Spirit impacting the world, which more than ever is in need of the good news of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. We believe in Almighty God. And because of Almighty God, even the stories that are incredible, that are supernatural, that most people have difficulty biting into or swallowing it, we say amen to that because we know that God is able to do all things. Lord, as you came to us, being conceived of the Holy Spirit and being born of a Virgin Mary, that us too, like Mary, we want to obey as you want to carry out your plan of salvation through us and in us. Help us, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.